Okay, we got one more minute, huh? So anyway, yeah, this is the first lesson for the year 2014, huh? So Happy New Year to you all, huh? Let's hope 2014 will be a new beginning for Dhamma to flourish, huh? I got a feeling Dhamma can flourish. So it will start in about another 1 minute. Eh? So in the meantime, you just relax yourself. Eh? So there are, I think, only one. Eh? Ellen is the only one, new one, that joined us today. Eh? The rest are here before. Eh? Ellen is here. Eh? You all can get to know her too. Eh? She came to the SGBA talk, I think, one of the Sunday, I forgot which day. After the talk, she approached me and said, what is the fastest way to learn? and recommend some book. I say, Ladera, you come to the class, it's easiest. So that's how she came. Then I introduced her to Brother Suyan. I think Brother Suyan sent the link of one of the recorded talks, I think. Then she listened. Oh, she said very good, help her a lot to understand her meditation better. Then when she heard my talk, she was very happy. She said, somehow the teaching was clearer. It's like everything properly linked together and explained. We haven't started yet. Come. So that's how she is here with us. So we all should welcome her. So make yourself at home, Ellen, don't worry. They are all very good Dhamma friends. So they walk the path of Dhamma. Then they support each other. Counsel, motivate. Then they try to live by the Dhamma. Following the advice of Lord Buddha. Okay, 8:30, we can start. So what we do here is, we will have a simple pre-puja, the normal one that we do in the temple. So you start by composing your mind to develop the faith, the saddha, then the virya. Then after that, you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. There is a Buddha Rupang in front here. There is a poster also. Then this is to develop the spiritual faculty so that your faith can be strengthened. When your faith is there, the virya is there, and when you pay respect mindfully, the third spiritual faculty will be developed. Because when the mind is very composed and calm, then when you sincerely pay respect through understanding how special and how virtuous the Buddha is and how wonderful and wise his teaching is, you will develop the spiritual faculty very fast. And this is what you need to understand his teaching. Because without the spiritual faculty, you can be conditioned by the mental hindrances to become heedless. And without the spiritual faculty, it's very difficult to receive his teaching, because these are the faculty of the mind that you need to cultivate in order to have the condition to receive his teaching and to understand his teaching. So our pre-puja actually help us to develop the spiritual faculty. Then once your first three spiritual faculties, saddha, virya and sati, is developed, the last two will come by itself. Automatically you will develop it. And I will explain further later. So now we start. Compose your mind. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Mosavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sura Miraya Maja Pamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will start. Okay, just relax yourself, eh? Then maintain some form of attention. Okay, tonight, since it's the beginning of another year, 2014, so like I said just now, we hope this year will bring forth the condition for Dhamma to flourish, so that you all can actually progress quickly along the path of Dhamma. So what I want to share tonight is something different, because last night I was at this Kinrara Metta Buddhist Society in Puchong to deliver a talk on Anapanasati meditation. I don't know why they want Anapanasati. When they contacted me, they say, "Ratio, I heard you teach Anapanasati." You know what was my first answer to her? I said, for me, actually, although I use Anapanasati, but I can teach any technique, any method, any object of meditation, not necessarily Anapanasati. I said, if you want to learn meditation, you must understand what is meditation. That is more important, because the method and the technique never define the meditation. When I spoke to her that way, she don't quite understand me. Then I said, never mind. I will go there and explain, I said, when I'm there. But they insist the title must be Anapanasati Meditation. So I got no choice. I said, okay, Anapanasati Meditation. So what I did was, it was a long time since I read this sutta, Anapanasati Sutta. I actually almost forgot about it. But that was a good condition. So what happened was, I clicked on the internet. Then I read this Anapanasati Sutta. Then I realized, hey, this is beautiful. That's why a lot of people don't understand why Anapanasati is so powerful and so useful. So This Anapanasati Sutta was spoken by the Buddha during that time when he was in this Savatthi. There's a monastery there, I forgot what's the name. It was a rains retreat. You know the rains retreat, they call Pangsa. During the rains retreat, that 3 months, the monk, they have to go through a period of meditation training. So during that time, because it's raining in India, very heavy, so the Buddha didn't recommend so much traveling. He said there is time for cultivation. Then after that 3 months rains retreat, the monk, if they can form a sangha with 5 or more monks practicing and cultivating the Dhamma throughout the what they call rains retreat, then they can hold a katina. You know what is a katina? Offering of robe. To receive all this offering, because they are worthy of respect, offering, hospitality, and whatever. So, the Buddha at that time, according to the Sutta, he saw the great disciples of his, they were all with him. Most of them, the elder, senior disciple who were with him for quite a while. All of the 10 disciples and some elder disciple. And they were instructing all these monks. And they did so well because of Anapanasati. So he decided on the Upasat on the 15th of that month when they were about to end their rains retreat. He made that great announcement. He said he is very happy with the result of the community of monks. After he had surveyed the whole community of monks or assembly of monks that were there for the retreat, rains retreat. Then because of that, he said he will decide to stay one more month in that place. And they call it the Water Lily Festival, the 4th month. So that news was announced. So everybody was so excited. Then the Buddha actually instructed the disciple, because of that, you should actually strive on to instruct them more diligently so that they can all progress more diligently. So that all those who have yet to attain the unattained, to realize the unrealized yet, they can attain and realize. And because of that, the Buddha said, this is a very rare occasion, isn't it? Even if you should travel for a very long distance, they call it by don't know how many leagues or what, you should come, is it? Because it's worth the effort. So what happened was, during that 1 month, so many of these new monks that came together with the existing monk, they all progressed so fast. So much so, after that 1 month, the Buddha announced what now? He announced that in this assembly, it is a very, very unique, very rare, and very beautiful assembly. He is so happy with the progress, he said. Among the assembly, there are many who has realized arahantship, he said. Liberated their mind, free their mind. No more rebirth. This is their last birth. Then there are a lot, he said, also among the assembly who has realized the anagami state, ready to be born in the pure airport where they will not return to the sanctuary anymore. They are called the non-returner. And there are also quite a number, he said, who has attained the second stage of sainthood, who has relinquished the first 3 fetters and attenuated the 4th and the 5th. Then after that, he said, finally, there are a lot, he said, who realize the first stage of sainthood, Sotapan, where the lower 3 fetters has been relinquished. And these are The worthy ones, you see, the enlightened one, they are worthy of respect, offering, hospitality, and give. Then he continued, you see, because the instruction that were given that time were all mainly anapanasati. So he said, anapanasati is a very useful technique or a useful object of meditation that is suitable for most people, most cultivators. Okay. So if you diligently pursue and develop this cultivation of anapanasati, which is the mindfulness of the in and out breath, it will bring forth great benefits and great friction, you see. In the sense that when you cultivate this anapanasati, if you do it according to what the Buddha has instructed you, it will come to fulfillment of the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, you see. And because of that, the seven factors of enlightenment will also be perfected. And due to these seven factors of enlightenment, it will bring forth the enlightenment. All the various types of sainthood can be realized. And even arahantship, the enlightenment in the here and the now, can be realized. So it was so unique. And the Buddha praised anapanasati was because of that, he said. Yeah. If properly pursued and developed, it can bring forth great benefits and fruition. So that's why he instructs the monks, he said, you must strive on with heedfulness. You cultivate anapanasati to develop heedfulness of the mind. Then from there, you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, he said. So this was the sutta that was delivered. And because of that, you should have confidence and faith in this technique. You don't worry about what people use. Because the Buddha explained actually, different people has different, what they call, paths, different affinity to what type of object of meditation that is more suited to their character. But the breathing, he said, is a very neutral object, very simple, suitable for most personality. And the breathing is always with you, in the here and the now. So that's why when you can develop mindfulness of in and out breath, your mind will always be in the moment. So that anapanasati is just a technique, a skillful means, where the Buddha introduced for the monks to anchor their mind, to train their mind, so that it can be mindful of this in and out breath, so that it can be with the moment in silent inner awareness. Just mindful of this in and out breath without thought. That's why the mind can become very peaceful, very calm, very still, very tranquil. Then all the jhanic factor can arise. Then you can develop all the various meditative training with that type of mind. What you need is heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? We have already developed the understanding through our constant sharing. Heedfulness actually got two parts. So if you were to look at the teaching, we need to really develop this clear understanding so that you don't have doubt anymore. So that when you cultivate, you are very confident, your faith is very strong, and you can move very fast. So the Buddha, before he passed away, his parinibbana, he reminded the monk just two words, he said, apamadena sampadeta. I think you are familiar with this too. He reminded the monk, you need to strive on, he said, with heedfulness. That's it. And the reason why he said this is because he has in his teaching explained what heedfulness is, the importance of heedfulness under the Dhammapada verse 21 to 40. There are 40 verses. But the first three are most important, verse 21, 22, and 23. Under Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha make it very clear, he said, Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. And this Dhammapada verse is very important. If you understand, you will never be heedless anymore. Because the Buddha make it very clear. If you are heedful, you will never die. Means destined for enlightenment, liberation from birth and death, definite. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead, even though you are alive, living, or existing through life. But spiritually, you got no chance of enlightenment and liberation. That's why you are like a dead person to the Buddha. Yeah. Means there is no spiritual life. Spiritually, you are dead. So when you understand this, you were determined to train your mind to have this heedfulness. Then we need to know what is heedfulness. That's why the Buddha continued. Dhammapada verse 22, he said, the wise one, those who have developed the wisdom, they will understand the clear difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. Distinctly understanding the great difference between these two, the wise one will intend on heedfulness, he said. And because they did that, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. And the Aryas are the noble ones, the enlightened ones. So you see, if you intend on heedfulness, you will definitely become enlightened. So meditation is not so difficult. You only need to train your mind to be heedful and you are destined for enlightenment. Actually, it amounts to just that. Then the third Dhammapada verse 23 explains clearly to you what heedfulness is and confirm that you will realize Nibbana, which is the enlightenment that you are sorting for or looking forward to. Under Dhammapada verse 23, he said, the constantly meditative and the ever mindful, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. You see, constantly meditative means what? Constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So what is the meditation that the Buddha teach? Can recall? The essence of his teaching is what? The Four Noble Truths, isn't it? There is a tree turning to it, isn't it? So within the Four Noble Truths, which is the meditation? Which is the meditation? Fourth one, very good. Well, the first one is Noble Truth of all, that explain to you what suffering is. That is not the meditation, isn't it? Second Noble Truth talks about the cause behind all suffering. Is it? There is a reason for all suffering. Then the third Noble Truth talk about the possibility of enlightenment. He said suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Nibbana can be realized. And this is a Noble Truth. Means confidently he tell you it can be done. But it's again not the meditation. The fourth Noble Truth is the one that is the meditation. So he said, there is this fourth Noble Truth that explains to you clearly that if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. That is the meditation. So, Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Always have that understanding deep in your mind. If you were to do meditation, whatever method or technique, and finally, if it doesn't lead you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. As simple as that. So you don't go and look for all those psychic ability, energy field, fantastic meditative experience, or not much use. Ultimately, you will go back to Noble Eightfold Path. And within Noble Eightfold Path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the right, for right effort. Then you have sati, right mindfulness to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And this is the one that you need to go deep into. That's why the Anapanasati Sutta mentioned very clearly. After you train your mind in Anapanasati, heedfulness will be developed. Then use it to cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness. That's how the seven factors of enlightenment will come to be. And because they are factors of enlightenment, it will bring forth the enlightenment, the condition for enlightenment. So this is how any method and technique, if ultimately you cultivate it correctly, it will link you back to the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. Then when you have developed the requisite wisdom, your mind can awaken, then liberate, then you can free, totally free from all suffering. So basically, Dhammapada verse 23 confirmed to us what heedfulness is. It said, the constantly meditative and the ever mindful. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness, apamada. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. But you must have continuous or stable mindfulness, you see, ever mindful. So you need to develop this mindfulness first. So meditation, I always instruct you all this way. Meditation got two parts to it. First is to train the mind to be mindful. That's why you need an object of meditation to anchor the mind. Then you train it until your mindfulness develops. And then you stabilize it until you are ever mindful. Not only in the sitting posture, in the form of meditation, in the retreat. Even when you come out of it in daily life, you must have this continuous mindfulness to be ever mindful. And to do that is not difficult. There is no effort involved. When your spiritual faculty is developed, sati, samadhi, and panya will make sure you can be ever mindful and heedful. So meditation is basically, when you understand, to cultivate the spiritual faculty. And when your spiritual faculty are developed and perfected, that's why under the 37 factors of enlightenment, the five spiritual faculty are repeated twice. He said, first level you cultivate until you stabilize it. Then when you are able to stabilize it, you should perfect it, the Buddha said. You perfect it until it becomes a power. A power means very stable until it becomes so powerful. And he called it balas. Yeah. So it has transformed from normal spiritual faculty into spiritual powers. And these are not psychic power. Eh? These are spiritual faculty that has become powers that will allow you to develop the wisdom very fast. So when it become balas, means the spiritual faculty has become so stable, it's unshakable, understand? You will never lose it anymore. Means what? Your faith is unshakable. That's why the Sotaban, their faith is unshakable. Yeah. Then the Virya is also unshakable. Then the sati or mindfulness also unshakable. Yeah. Then their samadhi and their wisdom also unshakable. That's why their mind is naturally peaceful, naturally aware, naturally in samadhi because of their wisdom, equanimity. All the enlightenment factors will be there. So this is how you should develop the understanding. Then you will understand why you go to all the meditation class, the retreat. They use different type of object of meditation and techniques and method to instruct you. But if you don't understand the purpose, you become gullible. That's what happened to most Buddhists and cultivators, even meditators, they are caught for very long. Because they fail to understand this basic understanding. To them, if they are not doing that training of the mind, or if they are not noting that object of meditation, they think they are not meditating. So instead, they go and cling to the meditation object. It is just to use for training initially. That's why Anapanasati, you reap the four foundations of mindfulness. It is just the initial first category of training within Kaya Nupassana. After you have developed Anapanasati, you're supposed to go direct into the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture. That's why you straightway move into daily mindfulness. Then after that, you have to develop the ability to be mindful of the connecting activity of this four posture. That's how the third category of cultivation come about. The Buddha called it Sati Sampajana. Sampajana is clear comprehension. Clearly comprehending what you are doing. So not only you are mindful under the third category of daily mindfulness training, you have clear comprehension over what you are doing. And this four type of clear comprehension is very important. First one, the Buddha said, clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose means you come here to develop this training not for greed, not for psychic power, not for reputation, not for selfish intent, but with the sole purpose of developing wisdom to liberate your mind so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you can be a real human being to live the noble life. Yeah. So this first clear comprehension is very important. So that's why if you are not sincere, you cannot progress. Yeah. Then after that, he said, you must have clear comprehension of the domain of practice. And this is another very important one. If you don't understand that meditation is life itself, every moment, every instant, anywhere, any place, any time, you can also meditate. Even while you are asleep, you can meditate. Many of you, the heart like suddenly shocked. That's why you don't have smile. That's why the sense experience trigger. So this second clear comprehension is very useful. Domain of practice means you understand clearly that you can cultivate meditation anywhere, any place, any time. There is no restriction of place and time. That's why you will not be deluded anymore or gullible anymore. A lot of people say, "Ayo, I got no time to meditate lah. I still got to work." Means what? He think when he work, he cannot meditate. Then some will complain, "Ayo, this place so noisy, cannot meditate lah." Then, "Ayo, that retreat center so strict, so rigid, cannot meditate." Then some complain, "The food is not conducive. Every day same food. Vegetarian and all those things." Then don't understand what they are doing. So much pain, so much numbness. Dare not move. Torture themselves unnecessarily in the meditation. So all this is what is happening. But when you understand the domain of meditation, there is no such thing. You can be in a state of total relax, and yet you can be peaceful anyway, and you can meditate anywhere, any place, anytime, even in the midst of activity, working, running, cooking, sweeping floor, or doing your activity. And all this is possible. That is what Sati Sampajana is all about. And then when you understand this, meditation, it's no more a problem. It's not a technique anymore. Understand? Technique is just a skillful means to train the mind. Then after that, use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Is it so difficult? To cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you must have mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. To have right thought, right speech, right action, you must know your mental intention. Understand? To develop right view, you must have samadhi and sati, to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to realize the wisdom needed for enlightenment. Basically, is to insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. The Buddha called it anicchang, dukkang, anatta. So these are very important understanding. So that's why my emphasis is always on understanding what you do in the name of meditation. Otherwise, no point. You cannot progress. You get stuck. You are wasting your time. Understand? Doing things that you don't understand. Yeah. Then the third type of clear comprehension is also very important. Yeah. This third type of clear comprehension is something to do with the place, the time, and the people that you are with. The most important time is now. Don't go and procrastinate. The English word procrastinate. I forgot the idea, it's an English word. Means what? A lot of people always say, wait till I retire, I go full time. Means what? You never retire. But not everybody can work until 55. You know? That age is not guaranteed to you. No? Then by then, when you reach that age, you are no longer as healthy as before. Understand? No? Your health may not permit anymore. And you are already 55, you know. Not to say you cannot cultivate, you can. But you know, you lose out how much time, you know, compared to those who start at the age of 20-something. I start at the age of 17. See? If you start 55, you hope that, like the turtle and the rabbit, rabbit take a nap. And then the turtle slowly catch up. But this rabbit never take a nap. So how can you chase up? Understand? So this clear comprehension is very important. Most important time is now. Time is now. If you have the understanding, you will never delay. That's why the Buddha says, strive on your heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Be the heedless as it did. And you see the importance of this. You better strive on your heedfulness. As long as you don't develop this wisdom meditation, you cannot take care of karma, and your life will be affected. You will suffer. You will become miserable. And you will not understand what is going on. You only blame everything for what goes wrong. You blame God. You blame everybody. You blame all the circumstances except yourself. Then sometimes they become so miserable, they blame themselves. They don't love themselves. They get so angry themselves, they want to commit suicide. They become depressed. So this is what is happening to the heedless one, the deluded one. Then the last clear comprehension is also very important. Clear comprehension of non-delusion means you are not deluded by what happened during the meditation. Means you are not carried away, deludedly believe, oh, you enlightened already. Then your ego become bigger. So then you develop something like psychic ability or thinking you have special power already. You have the meditation. You are equivalent to enlightened one already. So this is all delusional. Not understanding what is the meditation that the Buddha teach. The focus of the meditation is to develop wisdom to liberate your mind. Nothing else. Not fantastic meditation. Not all the psychic ability. We are ultimately, each and every one of us need to die, understand? If you don't know that this is not you, if you deluded this, still grasp and cling onto this, ultimately, with all the psychic ability and fantastic meditation, you still die. You still fear death. You still suffer. You still become afflicted and miserable. If you grasp onto this fine aggregate of form and mind, deludedly, tenaciously, through your delusion. So this clear comprehension of non-delusion is very important. You are not deluded by what happened because you have the understanding and you know what is it that you are trying to realize. And you can check yourself easily, understand? Whether you still have fear or not, whether you still suffer or not, whether you still have the understanding to live life beautifully or not, following Noble Eightfold Path. Whether you can still become upset by any things that happen. Whether any activity or situation that arise can affect you or not. Then when you encounter people or different character, some very difficult one, whether you are still agitated or not, angry or not, emotional or not, Then when there is separation from the loved one, or when disaster happens, are you affected? Are you afflicted? And all this you can check. You cannot lie to yourself. So, clear comprehension of non-delusion is very easy, very simple. So when you have this four type of clear comprehension, the Buddha said, you will remain focused and your meditation will progress very fast. So that's why sati sampajana is very important. After you have developed the mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment, then you have this heedfulness. And that is just the beginning of real meditation, you know. You use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then in order to develop the wisdom further, you have to do the four foundation of mindfulness within the Noble Eightfold Path. The four foundation will continue from there. After the third category of cultivation, you have to reflect and contemplate on this body. Like the Buddha said, it makes up of the four elements. No knowing, it cannot be you. Then the 32 part, the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation. And all these have to develop wisdom and understanding with regards to this physical body, the physical form. When it's devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature. How it become? The body decomposed. The 9 stages that you will witness them. So all this, during the olden days, it was done. That's why they developed very, very strong penetrative insight very fast. And they start with anapanasati, anasana. But it doesn't mean that you have to start with anapanasati. Anything that can allow you to train your mind, you can use it. Any method and any technique. So if you understand what is meditation, then the method and technique and the object of meditation does not matter. The only thing that you need to know is you need to train your mind to be aware or mindful. That is the first thing. Then after that, you stabilize it. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So I have spent more time on giving this instruction because it's recorded. And I want you to understand this so that you can progress very fast. Because when I was in Kinara Metta, one of the ex-co member, I forgot his name. You know what he told me? Yeah, I told him I don't have a time slot to give them a permanent class because my weekdays are mostly filled up with the Dhamma classes and I need a little bit of space for my own life and activity and my family and some for my classmates too. They're my brothers, sisters and all things, and all those who have affinity with me. So because of that, I say I can't. Then you know what they told me, after that first class, they realize it's so different. Then he told me, it's so difficult to get somebody who understands to come and share with us all this teaching. And I say, you are not the only person who told me that. Everywhere I go, they tell me the same thing. But I only got one body. And I said, no. I can only appear at only one place at a time. I don't have that psychic. You can split into so many. I cannot. So because of that, I say, if you want, I will come and explain to you clearly what this meditation is all about. After that, it depends on you. If you want to progress, you come and join one of my classes. And I say the best one is Thursday class. That's why some of them may be coming, I'm not sure. So if you are really serious, this is the place where you can progress very fast because they are all recorded. And you can listen to the recording. It will help you a lot. Because if it's not recorded, I tell you, very difficult for you to grasp because you are not ready. Just imagine, at the age of 17 I start now. How many years already I have been developing this understanding? And overnight you listen once a week, how much can you get? That's why this is a full-time job. Full-time doesn't mean you must retire. Full time means you must cultivate continuously, like you are working continuously. So if you are diligent, serious, then meditation is continuously throughout the day, understand? Not only every Thursday. Every Thursday you come like charge up yourself, understand? Reaffirm yourself, the faith, the understanding. Then after that, go back, diligently develop your own religious routine. And if you sincerely cultivate, I can assure you, enlightenment in the here and the now, very, very possible. Especially now, the era is very different. The Buddha Sasana is still around. The consciousness is still around, very, very powerful. So with that, we can start our meditation. So now I will off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you just start straight away. For those who are new and still need instruction, you just silently relax your body and mind. Then maintain a good posture. A posture that is comfortable, relaxed. Then make sure your backbone is straight. I will off the light now. Then I give you the instruction. Okay, just relax body and mind. In order to develop this cultivation, your body and mind must in perfect harmony. Means completely relax and in harmony, no conflict. Means no stress, no mental stress, no physical stress. Just relax. Silence your mind. Then maintain some form of attention, awareness. When you are silent, you are already aware. Just silent. Then make sure your backbone is straight, body completely relaxed, mentally relaxed. Then you maintain attention at your forehead. For those who already train their mind, you don't have to do this mind sweeping method anymore actually. But if you feel that it is useful and helpful, then you do it to stabilize your mind. Because after you go out and work, entangle yourself with the daily life, you become heedless again unless you have stabilized your mindfulness. So mind sweeping method is a very good start to decondition your heedless thinking. So that's why if you need to do, you do. So I will give the instruction like before. Maintain attention at the forehead. Close the eye. Just feel. Don't think. Feel. Feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, just soothingly relax them all. Relax, relax, and relax them all. Then you go to your eye muscle, do the same. Feel, relax, don't think. Then your facial muscle, do the same. Feel, relax. If you find it difficult to relax, then you try to use another skillful mean. You visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Smile with all the radiant in your face, with all the joy in your heart. When you can smile, you are happy. When you are happy, you naturally relax. That's how all your facial muscles, everything will relax by itself. Then after that, you can radiate some form of metta or loving kindness to your own body and mind, so that you can develop the inner being, inner well-being. From inner peace, you will develop inner well-being. So you can recite as follows: May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You have to feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. When you recite May I, you feel this body and mind be well and happy. feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Means from your heart, you really feel it. Feel that all the cells within your body are having this well-being and happiness within. That's how the inner well-being comes to be. And this loving kindness, radiation, these are wholesome thought, pure thought, metta. So when you wish yourself well-being and happiness, your body and mind will have this feeling, will have this what they call very soothing type of feeling that will enable you to have inner well-being. Then you can continue. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So whatever mental and physical suffering that you have been confronted with or endured with, now in the meditation you feel your body and mind completely free of stress, free of suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. This is to protect yourself. Then may my mind states too be free from all negativity. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within your hearts. Then I will cut short. I will not do the metta radiation to all the other loved ones, friends and all those things. You straight away radiate to all beings. May all beings within the entire or this vicinity of Subhangjaya, the entire of this universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you come back to your facial muscle. You feel and relax every part of it. Then you move your attention to your neck. Again, feel, relax, no thinking. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then you move to your heart or your chest area. You just silence your mind completely. Just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there. Stay there. And that is a very good object of meditation to anchor your mind so that your sati can stabilize there. Initially, you need to hold on to something. Instead of anapanasati, later on this anapanasati will become like very subtle, like no more movement, no more breathing. And then, most people are at a loss. They don't know what to do. So that's why the more refined object is the heartbeat, the vibration within the body. So that's why during that time, you can just move to your heart and just anchor your silent mind there. Then after a while, even this anchor, you can let go of it. Because ultimately, you don't need any object of meditation to hold your mind. Because the mind is already in sati. Means you have stabilized that mindfulness. The silent mind. The mind is silent on its own. No more heedless. During this time, your hindrance, no more. Then only you can realize that. So you stay at the heart. You just silent and just relax and feel. You will detect your heartbeat. Or you will detect certain vibration at certain location depending on your past cultivation and your level of mindfulness. If you are still new, you have not developed that refined level of mindfulness, then never mind. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your chest area. You just feel and relax every part. Make sure every part is soothingly relaxed. Then you move down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, same. Just feel, relax. Then buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. Your leg, do the same. Feel, relax. Then you can repeat the entire cycle. Reverse it up from the leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, do the same. Abdomen, stomach. Feel, relax. Then again, you go to your heart or your chest area. Feel, relax everything. Then back to your shoulder, hand, shoulder, neck, relax. Facial muscle, eye muscle, forehead, feel and relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then I will train you to develop anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is actually the training of the mind to develop this mindfulness of the in and out breath. So it's very easy. Just like how you feel your forehead, now you silence your mind and feel your breathing. Just maintain attention in front of the breath. Then like the Buddha mentioned under the Anapanasati Sutta, is it? Always mindful. Yeah. Then breathing in, the mind is aware. The meaning is, when you are silent, just aware, the breath will go on naturally. The breathing will go on naturally. But because you are aware, like when you feel your forehead, you can feel your breathing. The moment you detect the breathing, the mind and the breath move as one. That is awareness. That is sati. That is mindfulness without thought. So, continuously train. Initially, when you are not used to it, this mind will wander off very fast. So, to develop anapanasati, there are only three steps. Very simple. First step is relax body and mind. Breathe in normally. Then after that, the second step is just aware in front of the nostril to detect the breathing. Yeah. Then the moment you detect, the third step is the mind and the breath move as one without thought. Just allow it to be. Yeah. Then during the third step, because if you are not trained, the mind will wander off very fast. Heedless, lost in thought because of your habitual tendency, because of your five mental hindrance. So don't worry, be patient. Every time you want to dissolve, bring it back. Bring it back. Just maintain awareness of this in and out breath. Just feel until the breath comes. If you are patient enough, not long, sometime within one sitting, you can do it. If you can do it at home, one day, let's say, early morning when you wake up, or at night before you sleep, and in between when you have free time in the office, lunch break or what, you just train your mind to develop anapanasati, to stabilize this anapanasati so that mindfulness can come to be. Then you will develop it very well. Then the moment you can do it, there is a lot of joy. Your mind becomes different. You all of a sudden like become very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil. Then, after a while, if you can continuously develop this anapanasati for about 4 or 5 minutes, there is a type of peace within. They call it piti, or spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, or spiritual joy, a type of joy born of the mind that is free without thought. You will feel it. That piti when it comes, especially if it's the first time you are doing, you feel so good. For the first time, you can have peace within. Most of the time, your mind is so restless, think a lot, can't even sleep. well and develop the peace. So anapanasati, if you train it well, it will develop the peace. Yeah. So I will allow you to continue with this training of the mind. Yeah. I will ring the bell after about another 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. Then you can, after hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. If you feel that you want to continue to meditate, you can also do that. Yeah. Then you can ignore the bell. Okay. Now I'll leave you to do your own training of the mind. others still want to meditate, continue, you can continue your meditation. You find it conducive and you want to do it. For those who have enough, you can slowly, silently, mindfully come out of meditation. But try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. You have to maintain this mind state that you have cultivated and developed, and try to maintain silence or heedfulness for as long as you can. Especially when you return to daily life. Tonight you will have good sleep if you have meditated properly. Then you will feel more calm, more peaceful. Heedfulness need a period of training. Initially it's mindfulness first. You can develop mindfulness already, very good progress. After you have developed the mindfulness, stabilize it. When your mindfulness stabilize, then it become stable. Means you can be aware most of the time. That is just the beginning of heedfulness. Not until you can do that in daily life, not only in the sitting, you still cannot be really heedful. Because to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path with sati, you need constant awareness. That's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23, he said, the constantly meditative and the ever mindful, he used the word ever mindful. If you are not ever mindful, you cannot develop the meditation continuously. That's why it's constantly meditative, not only meditative, constantly means practically no gap. You just continue to cultivate. Because throughout the day when you live your life, you need to arise a thought, you need to speak or communicate, then you need to act. Then you have a lot of activity going on. So Noble Eightfold Path covers all that. If you don't have right view or right understanding, which is the first Noble Eightfold Path factor, you cannot start the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you need to develop heedfulness to insight into phenomena, to get the initial wisdom, to investigate into the Dhamma, to develop the right view with regards to the spiritual law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the dependent origination, dwelling, which is how your mind functions and works. So not until you have this right view, you cannot arise the right thought. Because if your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. Then what is thought? Thought is the forerunner of all things. So when the mind arises, everything comes to be. If the user of mind is deluded, you don't have right view, then all of your action, speech and thought process will collapse. That's why your Noble Eightfold Path fall apart. That's why it's not easy to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You need the initial wisdom, born of sati, mindfulness, born of the four foundations of mindfulness. At least the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, to see your mental intention, to see how your mind conditions you into negativity, and how the evil roots, which is the root of all evil, cause you to entangle and arise the suffering through your delusion, to grasp, to cling, and to attach to the five aggregates of form and mind. Then you start to see how your mind functions and operates, how all the dependent origination arise within your form and mind, how your physical body have this sense basis and the mind consciousness trapped inside, how upon contact consciousness come to be, then how when consciousness come to be with delusion you react to it. You are not at peace with it. That's how you get yourself entangled and you develop all the hindrance, like and dislike, sensual desire, ill will, pleasant and unpleasant, sense experience, point of your wrong view. That's how you become hindrance. That's how the hindrance come to be. But when your spiritual faculty is there, all this will not happen. It cannot happen. So meditation is about understanding the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. And for those who are newer, especially Alan, you have a handphone that can take a shot. You take the shot of this three whiteboard note. Oh no, two. That one is just notice. The banner on top and the whiteboard below. That one is most important. Down here, the essential Dhamma are all there. That's why I gave a talk in Klang and that day at the SJBA Sunday morning session. I talk about the importance of understanding the essential Dhamma as taught by Lord Buddha. If you understand the essential Dhamma, you will know how to meditate and you will progress very fast. If you don't understand, it's like the blind leading the blind. The blind trying to look for something that they don't even know what it is. Understand? You want to realize enlightenment. You want to meditate. But you don't know what is meditation. And you don't know what that state is like, meditation, that will bring forth the enlightenment. So how are you going to search for it? At least the English saying, say, looking for a needle in the haze. Right? At least you know you're looking for a needle. Right? So not too difficult. Right? But if you don't even know what you are looking for, you try here, try there, try here, try there. You are wasting your time there. Take for example, a similar, maybe less accurate example, but quite similar, can project the point. Let's say you want to go somewhere. Let's say KLCC, KL. You never go there before. You never heard of it before. So what do you do? People say, you go to this place, Kuala Lumpur. There is a Twin Tower, KLCC. You can go by plane, you can go by ship, you can even fly into various places, then take the bus, take the rail or whatever. You hear everybody telling you all these things. But you got no inkling where Kuala Lumpur is. You don't even know where Malaysia is. The whole globe, you like, before Columbus discovered that it was round, there was no map, understand? Because nobody can tell you, understand? The essential Dhamma are like the map, understand? That shows you the direction, point towards that place. And then, if you look at the map, then you know where, and then you don't have to waste your time, flying to North America, Europe, everywhere and cannot find Malaysia. Then after you locate Malaysia, they tell you there is an east and a west. Which one? Then you say, we try, go east first. Then you lost. No such place. Yeah. But because they are Malaysian, they can tell you, oh, Kuala Lumpur, west Malaysia. You go Selangor, is it? Or Wilayah. And then you get the right people to tell you, then you are safe, you are here. But you get, let's say, the non-Malaysian, the illegal immigrant, they will tell you something else, understand? Then you end up in Philippines, maybe, Manila, or somewhere else in the Pacific Ocean, because they don't have any inkling of this place. Then even when, let's say, you manage to land in Selangor, very near already, I tell you, if you walk, you will get lost, I tell you. You don't have a map. And it takes you so long to walk from here to KLCC. But you know the direction, at least you can figure out. But let's say you're a foreigner. Not to say, well, even give you a car, you can get lost in KL. So how to look for KLCC? So without this roadmap, without this essential Dhamma, it's the same. Understand? So that's why you need to understand. The first category of Dhamma that you need to understand is the five mental hindrance, the Buddha said. The reason why you are not peaceful and you cannot meditate is because you didn't train your mind. Your spiritual faculty are very weak. And because the spiritual faculties are not there, the mind become a problem. It becomes heedless. Then when it becomes heedless and deluded, it gets itself entangled, then this hindrance starts to appear. Yeah. That's why when the mental hindrance are there, which are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, you cannot meditate, because these are hindrances within the mind that hinders you from becoming peaceful, from becoming aware, from developing this meditative state of inner awareness, the silent mind. So the hindrances are very, very powerful. So if you understand that you are heedless because of this hindrance, so you have to go into the teaching and find out what must you do. What did the Buddha recommend? He never say fight the hindrance. Understand? He said cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. When your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya, these are the five spiritual faculty, means the spiritual aspect of the mind that can allow you to understand spiritual things. Spiritual things are his teaching, Dhamma. So when you have faith in him and his teaching, this faith will make your mind very calm, very composed. Then you can pay attention, understand? Because you have confidence, you have faith. Then you understand very fast. When you are doubtful, you cannot understand. When you are in doubt, you cannot learn, understand? But when you are confident, then you will do well. So similarly, in the spiritual field, when you have this sadha, spiritual confidence, faith in you, through understanding who the Buddha is, how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is, how it can help you free your mind to develop the enlightenment, then your faith in him become very strong and unshakable. Then you will go all out to cultivate. And that will develop the second spiritual faculty, which is virya. When you have a lot of spiritual zeal, you cannot be sleepy, I tell you. When your faith is there, very strong, there is no more doubt. You will just cultivate. Then the third one is sati. When you have virya to move you to cultivate, sati will come, mindfulness will come. Where everything you do, you can bring about mindfulness. So when mindfulness comes to be, your restlessness of mind ceases to be. Restlessness is you think a lot, you worry a lot. When you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, problem, then your mind becomes restless. Understand? Otherwise, it's very peaceful. When there is no thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. But why do you have thought? Because you are deluded. You worry about so many things. You attach to so many things. You cling on to so many things. You have so much delusion that causes you to grasp onto all the belief system, the rites and the ritual, the custom that you, the tradition that you want to, the superstition that you want to. That's why you have so much fear, so much worry, so much anxiety. There is no peace. So all this, you will come to understand. The mind need to be in sati, means silent and just aware. When it's silent and just aware, it's the true mind, the real mind, before the arising of the aggregate, the thinking. That's why mindfulness is the awareness or the knowing. The awareness before the knowing. When you just aware, before the perception come out, before the thought move, before the activity move, before the aggregates of mind comes to be, at that moment, it is aware. Then you can see things as they are. But the moment the mind stir, the aggregate starts to move, the heedlessness comes to be. Then you are no longer aware. That's why you are lost in thought. You are preoccupied with the sense experience, with the emotion, with the fear, with the worry, with the anxiety, with the wrong view. So this is how the hindrance take hold of you. So if you train your mind to have this sati, it's just like you are so well trained, like in any sports. When you are trained means what? You can execute those strokes very skillfully, like badminton. You want it to be at the net, it will go to the net. You want to return the baseline, it will go to the baseline. You want to smash, it will listen to you. So the mind that is trained is the same. The mind listen to you. You want it to be silent, peaceful, and aware. You will just do that. And then meditation, no more problem. You don't have to struggle like anything inside there. Using all the method and technique to control the thought, to force it to be peaceful, to go into one point and absorption. You don't have to do all those things. The moment you understand, you're just silent. The moment you are silent, you're already aware. You don't have to try to be silent or try to be mindful. The trying is by the thought. Once the thought is active and is stirred, you cannot be mindful anymore. So meditation is about understanding. The moment you understand, then you know how to train your mind to develop sati. Means spiritual faculty first. Then when sati is developed, it will stabilize. Then it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is not concentration. Don't get it wrong. It is the unwavering mind. The mind that is collected. Unwavering. Means what? When you have samadhi, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactily feel something, or think of something, the mind is collected and unwavering, and is not disturbed. Not like just now, I saw a few of you. The doorbell, ding dong. Means you don't have samadhi. You don't understand your mind. It's not trained. Because upon contact, the conscious come out, you are not aware, is something that you don't understand and you don't expect. Then you got a scare. Then there is fear. That's why human mind that are heedless, still not heedful, behave that way. You may think that you are listening to me. But actually you are not listening with a silent mind. You listen with your thought. Then suddenly a contact trigger of that hearing consciousness that is so alien and you never expect, just like thunder. I tell you, a lot of your fear. Why? Because there is no sati and samadhi. When there is sati and samadhi, the moment it strikes upon contact, it will go here first. That's why this is a seat of consciousness. Understand? Then your mind will be there. It just stops there. Understand? It does not stir. Understand? It does not condition craving, fear, worry, anxiety. So the spiritual faculty that is developed, especially samadhi, is very different. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you see things as they are. Means what? You are no longer deluded by what you see. You see truth. You see the reality. That's why the Buddha said, jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality means the direct seeing. You see without the thought interfering. You see without your mind being conditioned into reacting. Means because you don't have any views and opinion to cloud your seeing. You see with direct, true mind, silent mind. And the mind that see reality. No word, no concept. Understand? You see things as they are, without any labeling. And then only you can arise the wisdom. Then only you understand how your mind functions. But you never see that way. You always see with the words, the concept, the attachment, the clinging, your memory. That's why mindfulness is very different. Meditation is very different when you understand. But when you don't understand, you can continue to repeat what you do last time. I tell you, very difficult to progress. Very, very difficult to progress. But you don't know what sati is. And when you don't know what sati is, how can you cultivate and develop something that you don't understand and don't know? But the moment you develop sati, the form and mind will know, because that state is very different. That state will allow you to see things as they are. Then you realize, hey, this is what sati is. Now you don't think anymore. You are not lost in thought anymore. Most of the time you are aware. Your mind is with the phenomena. It flows with it. It moves with it. Like anapanasati, the mind and the breath as one. Then when you are seeing all of phenomena, whether it's physical, mental or nature's phenomena. They will flow with your mind, understand? Even when you see nature's flow, the tree, the leaf, everything, like the whole of nature is one with you, understand? Then when you see the car, like that car is moving with your mind, no thought, understand? Then you can see people walking. Last time I remember during the early days, 30 years ago, suddenly, one day I was eating char kway teow in the store there. Before I order, I just said, then I order. Then I saw how he fried the char kway teow. It's like my mind inside him, no? I can do all the movement that he do. Then I asked myself, what is all this? Last time I never see. Because now my mind is silent. Yeah? And that was 30 years ago. That's why when I saw, I said, oh, this is what sati is. Then after that, again I look. Everything I see, my mind can be with it. Then later on, whatever I hear, my mind is with it. Then whatever I smell, taste, tactile feel all things, the mind and the thing is one. And then my nature can open up and take in all. That's why I know how to reflect, I know how to contemplate, I know how to develop all those. And nobody teach me. Not from this life. So, what I try to share with you is, the Dhamma is not what the books say, what people say. It's how you develop the understanding and cultivate and investigate into it and realize yourself. Because the Buddha make it very clear under the salutation to the Dhamma. This Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why he called Pachetang. Veditabu, Vinohiti. So, you will only understand it when you awaken. Before that, they are all theory. They are all knowledge. So, this is the part I want you to develop the understanding. The five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties. You focus on the spiritual faculty, just cultivate them. Then the whole meditation will follow through from there. Then to do anapanasati, you look at the 1, 2, 3. I told you 3 steps just now. First step is relax body and mind. Anasana. Then maintain awareness at the nostril area. That is the second one. You just feel the nostril. Feel the breathing going in and out. Then be with it. And allow the mind to flow and be with it. Then when you can do that, anapanasati will come to be. But if you are new, you should, like the third advice, you must expect the mind to wander off, even up to a million times. But every time it wanders off, bring it back. Just silent and develop that awareness. So every time it wanders off, bring it back. Like learning how to ride a bicycle. Every time you fall, try again. After a while, you know how to balance. And I tell you, anapanasati is easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. Yeah. While riding a bicycle, you can fall down and hurt yourself. Then you need to learn how to balance now. But anapanasati, no need. Just silent. Develop the awareness. Because when you decondition your heedless thinking, after a while, this mind becomes peaceful. Then it becomes aware on its own. Whatever you train constantly, you develop the skill and the ability to be aware. Yeah. So it will come, anapanasati. Then after that, you have to understand the 3 evil roots. Yeah, when you are mindful, you can see the Buddha's teaching and investigate into it. You can see your mental intention. Every time the evil roots are there, when you have selfishness, greed, craving, or lust, then the evil roots of hatred, envy, or jealousy, dislike, and all those things, yeah? Your aversion. Then when you have delusion, when you don't understand the truth, when you cling and attach to a fire, aggregate of form and mind, suffering will follow you. Yeah. So all these evil roots are the roots of all evil. You will see them and you will investigate and prove that the Buddha is right. It will stand up to investigation. Then you realize every time there is selfishness, there is emotional negativity or fear, you suffer. You become miserable. You become an evil person. They are the root of all evil. Then you will break your precept. So what must you do? You must develop the four right effort to abandon the evil roots that has arisen. Understand? Huh? The wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then after that, the second right effort to prevent it from arising. To do that, you must have mindfulness and wisdom. Means the moment you see the condition behind, it's going to stir the mind and cause you to act. Then you prevent it from arising. With true wisdom, you can prevent it from arising, the right effort. And that one you need to cultivate. It's a skill. Then you got right effort to promote the right thought, right speech, and right action that you have yet to develop and cultivate. The good speeches, the wholesome thought, the virtuous thought, then all of the right action that will not violate the precepts, that will not develop the evil roots. Then after that, you will come to understand that you need to cultivate the opposite three, wholesome Dhamma, to actually overcome the three evil roots. Then the Buddha recommend, if you want to be successful in your holy life or the spiritual life, you must develop Dana, Sila, and Bhavana. And these opposite three are very important. Dana is generosity. Means what? You cultivate generosity to overcome your greediness, your lustfulness, your craving, your desire, your attachment, and your clinging. So all this, when you have generosity, your heart will open up, you will become less selfish, less greedy. Then after that, you cultivate sila, means your morality. When your morality is taken care of, there is no more evil root, understand? Greed and hatred is no more, because you become very generous. You become very loving, very compassionate, very virtuous, sincere, truthful, respectful. You have a lot of gratitude. You're no longer the egoic, snobbish type, proud type, egoic, selfish, and greedy type. Then when you have these two, Dana and Sila, your mind become more peaceful, more calm, because you don't violate the precept, you got less problem, you got less heedlessness. And then when you start to do meditation, bhavana, it's so much easier. Your hindrances are so much less. If you don't have Dana and Sila, your hindrances are very strong. Then you can invoke the power of Dana and Sila. Yeah, these are meritorious actions. It gives you a lot of merits. So if you invoke the power of merits and make aspiration by the power of these merits, may it bring forth the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to always avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana or enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now as soon as possible. You continue to make this aspiration, it will bring forth the condition for you to develop the enlightenment. So basically the cultivation is very straightforward, very easy, and not that difficult. So have faith in the Dhamma that the Buddha teach and share with you. Then everything should flow. Okay? So tonight, don't have much time more for question and answer. Normally we have a second session where you can report your meditation and ask questions with regards to the teaching, your meditation, and how you can apply what you have learned here and the Buddha Dhamma to develop the understanding of life, to overcome all of your life problem and situation. Okay, anybody want to report the meditation or ask any question? Anybody? Nobody? They have a website or WhatsApp sharing, I think. Today they ask a lot of questions. So if you want to know the answer, you go back there. I cannot repeat those things. I have to answer some. First one talk about gambling. So they try to justify certain type of gambling not so bad. Like the one Kayarmita lady, I think. He said, the mother-in-law like to go casino. But she said nothing wrong, because she said, I don't gamble off my money. I gamble within my limit, and I like it. It's fun. So she loved to do it. So he said, what can I do? Not only what can you do, because you have to have the right view. Her life, let her decide. Why do you want to interfere? Especially if you are just a daughter-in-law. You are not at my age, maybe you don't hear about this. Those at my age and beyond, I have heard a lot of mother-in-law complain to me. They use sometimes very hurtful speech, you hear them. They incandidate. Go check here. Yes, I haven't even tell her all. My daughter-in-law, come and tell me all. So sometimes you need to be tactful, respect for your elders. When there is condition to advise, when they are ready to listen and accept, and then you advise. Otherwise, don't force the situation. It will lead to very, very ugly situation. If they turn around and tell you all, what are you going to do? She's your mother-in-law. I haven't even tell you my requirement. You try to discipline me. That's not. It's her life. Let her live. She has her own karma. But if you have your good heart, you want to help her, you also must have the Dhamma. That's not. Show it to her first through your own character, your own transformed personality. Then when he sees you different, beautiful, then he would like to know more about you. How did you change and become so different and so beautiful? Rasana, your speech are so refined now. You don't hurt her anymore. You don't say things that bring forth disharmony anymore. This is where Noble Eightfold Path come in and you become beautiful. Then your in-law will like you. Your husband will love you more. Rasana. Then there are a lot of things in life that you can learn. Today I was discussing with some friend in my office. Then I got one classmate. When we were on the Thailand trip, spiritual trip, he cracked this joke, which turned out to be good. No? He said, if you want to be a good husband, what must you have? What are the attributes you must have? You old lady, tell me. What you want your husband to have as an attribute? He say in Cantonese. Somebody must help me to translate. Sam chong si tak. You know what is this or not? He say your wife shall love you like anything. Si tak means four type of thing that you must be able to do. He say when you go with her shopping. Tang tak. Can wait. Yan tak. Patient. Sai tak. Can spend money. Matu tak. Don't argue with her. This type of husband good or not? Better than he having all the wealth in there. Then he go and marry another one. But if he got these four attributes, that's why my colleague in the office, Mr. Tew, you're very good. This is what I would tell my husband today. Then he said, what is sam chong? You know what is chong or not? In English is what? Like he praise you, say good thing about you. Hi, honey. You're really, really very good. You help out so much. You actually help the family. You did all this. I tell you, your wife will be very happy. Then you pray, you're so beautiful nowadays. You go where? Makeup and all those things, massage. Yeah, you must actually do something to your health. Then you start to like say good things about her. I never appreciated all this all along because we used to take things for granted. Then you start to appreciate what they do. I tell you, they will love you like men. They say you no money also, never mind. They are willing to work and strive for you, sacrifice for you, because you understand them, you appreciate them, you love them. So life is like that. Appreciate what your family members have contributed to the family unit. Then likewise, you appreciate how lucky you are to have the Dhamma to allow you to have this understanding to bring for a happy family unit. Then like that previous Tuesday class, you remember? We went through that question. Somebody asked about, as a housewife, is it like everything also she has to handle? Nobody want to help. So end up, she wants to understand what is the meaning of responsibility or those things. So for the Kayana Mitta group, I have sent out the Siloka Vada Sutta. This time, I hope I got it right. Sigalo Vada Sutta. That one is very good. That spell out clearly your duty as a wife towards your family unit. How you honor your children. How you serve your husband. And likewise, reciprocally, vice versa, how your husband should value the wife and the children. You go and read. It's very good. I like those two. Then it talk about your relationship with others too. That one not so important. The one very good one is parent against children. Then even that one you can apply, and your children will actually love you more. Then husband and wife, how each must develop the respective duty so that there is harmony, so that there is good life. He referred to the six directions, representing all the various people that you have relationship with. So within the teaching, there are a lot of good advice. So if you want to learn how to apply the Dhamma, you have to have the Dhamma. That is the sad thing that I have to tell you. Without the Dhamma, it's very difficult to apply. Now you start to see that WhatsApp you only have for 1 or 2 days. You see all the questions they ask. It's real life question. The other one is about bribery. How to do business without bribing. And a salesman, later on, they will ask also, how to become a salesman if I don't lie? So they ask how to keep the precept. Last time I gave a talk at Fo Quang San that time, there was one salesman asked me this question. He said, no way. If I don't bribe, I lose my business. If I don't lie, I cannot sell. I cannot market. I said, are you sure? Yeah, I told him I also worked before. I never lie. I never do all this. But my sales also very good. And my client like me. And I can go about doing things without having to violate the principle of moral code, the precepts and all those things. It's your understanding. It's not impossible. It can be done. But when you have the understanding, it's very easy. But when you don't have, it's like, cannot lah, this world like that. The business world is like that. Everybody also like that one. Corrupt one, is it? Undercut here, undercut there, cheat here, cheat there. You don't lubricate them, nothing more. So what do you do? This is reality. But when you have the Dhamma, when you have the faith in the Dhamma, you will be beautiful. You don't worry. Things will come your way. Have dana parami, then the wealth will come. You will be so amazed how it comes. Sometimes the sincere, the honest, and the like, gong gong, they say. You know the Hokkien saying very good. Gong gong jia ti gong. Understand? He said ti gong means like nature reward you. So, gong means what? They are sincere. So, they don't know how to cheat. They are not deceitful. So that's why they are very lucky. But the cunning one are the one they lose out. So Dhamma is nature's law. So when you understand, all this can bring about tremendous reward in your life. If you live by the Dhamma, Dhamma will protect you. Dhamma will reward you. That's why you must have faith in Dhamma. Otherwise, the Buddha cultivates so long for one. Out of love and compassion for the living being, he just wants to share this truth. So that the sasana can help as many beings as possible. Then he has taught so many beautiful disciples who will pass down this teaching. Understand? That's why the Buddha is very rare. Samasambuddha. And it's very beautiful. Okay, another 5 minutes. Anything else that I forgot to cover regarding the WhatsApp? I think most of the thing is there. How many of you not in the link? Wow, so many. Because that WhatsApp can only take 50. So Suyang said he has to try out first. Maybe if possible, we will try to forward it out. The my Kayanamita cannot become a WhatsApp. Can we send it to the email? No, can we forward it to the email? Will it come out? Email. No. Can we just use our handphone? Press all of them. Then one shot send. Cannot. One by one. You have to send one by one. I haven't tried yet. I think it's okay. It's only those who are interested, then they ask, then maybe you get your friend to forward you. If you want to understand a little bit better. They are all very useful advice. People's life experience. Or somebody cut and paste, then email out. Yeah, can it be done or not? Cut and paste. Then email it out. If it's too troublesome, then no need. Because I know Sui Ang got a lot of duty, a lot of things. He's involved in so many wholesome things. So it's not so fair to tie him up. That's why you all must volunteer to help him. He need helper, a lot of helper, even at SJBA. As Dhamma friend, you must provide service because this is how you repay back to society. Last time when you are new, people do all this to help you to come and develop the Dhamma understanding. So when you are ready, it's your turn to provide service and help back. Just like 30 or years ago, I used to go Brickfield, listen to Chief Reverend. So I benefited. Then the tape library, all the various retreat and all those things that people organize. Then later on, when the time come, I also go and contribute. I also help to set up the tape library, do all the recording, the taping, label the title, then loan all this out, then advise people. Then later on, when I was ready, I actually wanted to share, but there was no condition. Nobody knew about me. I'm just a lay person. So I lie low for about 15 years. I never do anything. And then after that, somebody contacted me, one Dhamma friend. Since 2004, I started to come out and share. So far, coming to 9 years. I think end of this year will be 10 years. I remember during the tsunami time, December 2004, the massive tsunami, remember? Christmas Day. They asked me to share. That was the first sharing. I did it at Vipassana Center because they invited me there. One of the Dhamma friends. So coming to 10 years, very fast. So it's your small way to help back, to pay back. Okay, if there is no more question, maybe we can make the final announcement. So our next class is on 17th of January. After that, we break for 3 weeks. 24th, we break because it's just 6 days before New Year. Then after that, 31st, exactly New Year. January, not February, 31st January. The DM. Oh, is it? Today is 9, isn't it? Oh, 16, yeah, sorry. Yeah. So you should look at the other side. Yeah. So 16 is on. Then 23rd is off. Then 30th is off. Then 7, 7 of February, we also off. 6th of February. Oh, yes, 6th of February. 6th of February also off. So we had to write again. Then after that, we come back on the 13th. 13th of February. But 13th... okay. Because Sui An have something to do, I think. So those 2 weeks, we try to check with Stephanie. Then we see how. Otherwise, anybody want to volunteer your house, you can. Last time was who? Was it you who want to volunteer? Not her. Pak Masuri, yes. You check with her. Check with her and say, oh, very good to go to her house. Yeah. Oh, then no need. We are Kayana Mitawa get lost. Never mind, Stephanie there will be easier. We have people go there before. We check with her and say, then, yes. I can, if you can arrange. That is the best, actually. You let me know. Hopefully they allow us to use. Then easy, everybody know how to go. Then I just drive there. Oh, good suggestion. Can, no problem. can, just arrange something. Because we can do it downstairs. If they do upstairs, we do downstairs. If they do downstairs, we do upstairs. Anywhere you can have space, it's okay. That is a good suggestion, Sadhu, to you. So we just leave it. So wishing you all a happy new year. Then coming Chinese New Year. So apply Noble Eightfold Path. Chinese New Year, a lot of Dhamma you can learn, I tell you. That is the time you get there with your family members, a lot of activity. But if you are not heedful, you see all your gossip. Then you see all the greedy eating. Then you lost your mindfulness. Then when you are involved in your discussion with your family members, your old character start to come out. But when you have the Dhamma, you can see the big difference. No? All of a sudden, you are so different. Then you know how to approach those that need help. Then you will go and talk to them. How are you this year? How has things been going on? Because when I go back New Year, actually before I go back, I already received some like phone call. Then I know who are the ones that need help. Because two of my sisters, I don't know why only sister, both their husband also passed away quite young. Not that young, but quite young. 50 plus, I think. 50 plus. So they had to go through tough time. So I went back and talked to them. Then we need to actually help out. So as brothers and sisters, we know what to do. So for me, whoever need help, we will help. Then I will organize all those things. So this is occasion for you to actually help people. Develop your generosity, your understanding. Then make them feel good, understand? Elevate their fear, their worry. Assure them. Well, when I went back and talked to my sister-in-law, or not my sister-in-law, both my sister. One is, we gave away when she was very young, so that one was not so close to me. My sister, no problem. Straight away, 1-2 day, cultivate everything. But that one, give away one, take a while. But luckily, I went back 2-3 times. Then I talked to her. I assured her. I said, "You don't worry." I said, "We are all your brothers and sisters. We are here to help you in whatever way." Because she was without a career and a job, I tell you. She married to somebody quite rich, quite wealthy. The first son of that family. But he made a mistake. The business got cheated. And the whole family blamed him. Then he developed the stress, the pressure, then he died. Then after he got a stroke first, then he died. Then after he died, my this sister given away one. A lot of fear because all the other brothers blame the husband and they want to chase him out. Chase her and the family out. Because they were, I think she got 4 or 5 kids. So. And she was like mad, I tell you, crazy. In the hospital, you know what the doctor said, right? My brother told me. The doctor told my brother, "You don't worry about your brother-in-law. He is a already gone case," he said. "But I worry for the wife," he said, "your sister." So serious, no? She like totally out of fear. Totally like something very severe happened. Then I flew down and I talked to her. Then assure her, "You don't worry. Life had to go on. You still got your kids. We are still here for you, brothers and sisters. You don't worry. Everything we will just take care for you." Then I say, "You got no house? We will make sure we find a house for you. Even to buy, we will buy for you." And all that. Then surprisingly, she settled down. The only thing that make her settle down was, I say, "Not only you," I say, "your kids, your children, you cannot just go off like that." I say, "If anything were to happen to you, what would your children do?" They were all so young. And now it's already more than 10 years. She already so happy and fully recovered. And now she is more happy than before. Even many years ago, then she recently came down and visited me with the elder son, thanked me, then talked to me. She was very appreciative. And she has so much joy, actually. All the kids all grow up already. The first daughter married. Then the second son working already. Then, he got 5 children now. There are 3 more. One in form 5, I think. The other one in uni or what. And younger one is still form 3 or form 1, I forgot already. But good life, because she actually work very hard. Then my brother, they all help her. So she go and sell like pasar malam initially. Because one friend help her, he said, "You don't know the trade, never mind, I teach you." Because we tell her, "You don't worry. Even no pasar malam, we'll rent a place for you. You go and do a small business." But she liked the pasar malam. Then she end up selling things at the market and all those things. And she's doing very well. Then now she got quite good sum of savings. Yeah, the husband also got some insurance and all those things. So all these are possible. Sorry, we need to end. Okay, let's do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage, then we end. Sharing of marriage with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merit accrue to the departed relatives and all those who have received them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetucha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we no never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha. Then we can end. Thank you.
Thank you.